What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Landing on the Plains, all things Auburn football from someone who really lived it. Man, what's going on, everyone? We are back with another one. And I first wanted to start this episode by just saying I'm very appreciative of all the love and support thus far, all the words of encouragement and even some advice. Just as we continue this thing, as we continue to keep it rolling, just wanted to start by saying I'm appreciative, man. And, you know, just as we get into this episode here, I wanted to take the time today to just kind of get into some questions, man, hear from you guys. Always love to hear from the fans. And I think it's important that I give that player insight. Just some behind the scenes and things that you guys may not know about, some things you may not be able to see. And so, yeah, so as we keep this thing rolling, I just, again, wanted to say I'm very appreciative. And, yeah, I wanted to get into some questions today as we continue to move this thing forward and kind of hear from you guys. And so very excited to get into that today. And without further ado, we're just going to go ahead and jump right into it. The first question being, explain the Mike, Sam, and Will linebacker positions. And so, obviously, this being my position, this one's going to be kind of fun for me just to kind of break down the three linebacker positions. And nowadays, football has kind of evolved. It's changed a little bit to where that third linebacker on the field has kind of become less important. Just, you know, a lot of teams nowadays deploy a two linebacker system, just being able to go nickel and be able to match the speed and the quickness that offenses are moving with. And so nowadays you'll see a lot less three linebacker sets, but when you do, just know that the offense is more likely than not in a heavy personnel. That's when you'll see your 12 personnels, your 13 personnels. That's when you, which is rare nowadays, you'll see a fullback. You don't see that a lot, especially in college football, but your heavier sets, that's when you get into your base defense, which brings your third linebacker on the field, your Sam linebacker. So just to kind of break out all three positions down, I'll start with the Mike. Your mic or your middle linebacker is the quarterback of your defense, right? This is the play caller. This is typically your alpha male. This is typically the guy who is doing a lot of the communication, getting the guys lined up, making sure everybody's on the same page pre and post snap. A lot of people think about communication. They think pre-snap communication, but a lot of the times that post-snap communication is what really makes plays successful. And so that middle linebacker is crucial. Again, like I said, being that alpha male, typically you want him to be a run stopper. You want him to be, you know, heavy-handed, taking on blocks, being in there in the trenches with those linemen and those guards and tackles and, you know, just having to take on those blocks. And so you want him to be strong. You want to be extremely smart. Like I said, being able to line people up, get guys corrected. Even when things aren't right, being able to calm guys down, being a leader on the field, extension of coach on the field. And so that's kind of your Mike linebacker. And so next we'll kind of move into the Sam. And like I said, the Sam is your third linebacker who comes onto the field when you get those heavier personnels. And your Sam is more than likely a heavy body, a big body, very strong guy, because this is the person who is traveling towards the tight end. So your Sam or strong side linebacker is what we like to call it. And so he's got to be heavy handed, ready to set the edge, ready to rush the passer on occasions, and also be athletic enough to drop into coverage. So your Sam has to be versatile. Your Sam has to be able to, like I said, drop into coverage, cover tight ends, drop into the flat and hook curl while being able to take on those tackles, those heavy body tight ends. And like I said, set that edge. And so having a really, really good Sam elevates your defense to a really, really elite level, because like I said, the Sam has become less and less important. And so if you have a third linebacker who's really, really good at playing Sam, that elevates your defense to another level, because a lot of teams do like to take advantage of that, because most people don't really work on that nowadays. Most people don't deploy three really, really good linebackers or somebody who really knows and understands the Sam position like that in 2026. And so, yeah, having those three linebackers on the field, with that Sam linebacker being really, really good, elevates the defense tremendously. And last but not least, we'll get into the Will linebacker, also known as your weak side linebacker. This linebacker here is more so your speed guy, your guy who can flow backside, play those cutback lanes, who's really, really aggressive, but disciplined at the same time. Because like I said, that ball a lot of times is going towards the strong side. So that's going towards the Sam. You've also got your mic over there. And so your wheel has to be able to play free, be able to avoid blocks, be able to slip blocks, and be able to run and hit. So that's what your wheel is doing. Your wheel is always on the weak side. And like I said, this is a guy who typically can run really, really well, typically a guy who can diagnose plays and has the discipline to stay backside. But when that hole opens up, he can shoot it, he can hit it, he can ultimately make a lot of plays. And so those are a breakdown of your three linebackers, you know, your Mike, your Sam, and your Will. Next, we'll get into the next question. This one was a really good one. What are road game routines like for players? And I kind of just kind of break it down from Friday as we get into the Saturday game day, just to kind of show what the travel is like, show what that entire day is like, really, because there's a lot that really goes into that preparation. And so typically on Friday, you'll wake up that Friday morning. You have the options to work out. I used to work out on Fridays. I used to like to work out the day before the game just to kind of feel good, get my body moving. And so and then after that, you'll kind of quickly transition into class. So a lot of guys do have class on Friday mornings. Unless we're traveling far, then we'll kind of scrap classes for the day. And that's always a good thing. We always kind of get excited about that. And so really, you just come in and first thing we got is meetings. So we'll have a team meeting. What kind of review practice from the day before Thursday, because on Thursdays it's kind of like the quick practice day. We kind of get in and out and kind of enjoy our night. It's pretty much our free night to kind of decompress a little bit. And so Thursdays we don't really have meetings after practice and things like that. We have a quick practice and we get up out of there. And so we come back on Friday, lock back in, go through a practice review, anything that we messed up on, and kind of clean up some things. And then we go straight into walkthroughs. You know, you have your team meeting, your position meetings, your unit meetings, or whatever the case may be, special teams meetings. Then we go straight into walkthroughs. After walkthroughs, we have what I used to call like a golden hour. It's really not even an hour. It's like 45 minutes, but you have like about a golden hour to make sure you got everything packed up, make sure you shower. A lot of people like to hit the tubs after walkthroughs. Some people hit a gun show, get a little extra pump in for they hit the shower. Some people run right up out of there to go back to their room, get something they forgot. This is time to go back and see your girlfriend right quick before you hit the bus and fly up out of town. So this is the time for you to do a whole bunch of different stuff. Guys got to get snacks for the plane. Guys got to get food, this, that, and the third. So it's a lot going on. And all I know is, once that time hits for us to be on that bus, you better not be late. You hear me? So we all used to disperse right after walkthroughs, go do our thing. Like I said, everybody got a lot of stuff to do, but you better be back on that bus on time. And I don't really think we had any issues while I was there, at least anybody missing the bus or anything like that. We might have had a couple curfew issues as far as like hotel things like that, but never nobody missing the bus to go travel to a game. So obviously you hit the bus, head to the airport, and we load up the airplane, man, and we fly out wherever we're going. And once we land, we hit the buses and we head straight to the hotel. And typically once we land at the hotel, we have about an hour or so to kind of decompress a little bit before we head into the night routine and things like that. And so that's always my time for me to kind of chill and do my tests, because we used to always get tests for traveling. And so it was just basically the game plan and a review, make sure we knew what we was talking about and doing. Make sure we had all of our checks and communications down packed. And so I would get to my room, make sure I do my test, and then, you know, head down to chapel. And this was honestly my favorite part of the pregame routine, was spending time with my teammates, spending time with Brother Chet. And that was always special to me. God rest his soul. So that was always my favorite part of pregame routine, just that Friday night, you know, being able to be, you know, in the room with my brothers and, you know, just get closer together. That was always special to me. So that's something I'll never forget, all of those moments, whether it was guest speakers, whether it was Brother Chet. I just remember those moments and those days a lot. And so after chapel, we'd have dinner, team dinner, and, you know, then we get straight into meetings, more meetings. The offense would meet and the defense would meet separate. And so obviously defense, we met a lot quicker than the offense. And so we would get in, watch a little film, and then, you know, it was our keys to victory, and we would lay them out. We would show, you know, examples of, you know, important clips, important situations, and we would have guys stand up and go over the game plan, and boom, 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 we was out. And the offense had to always meet a little longer. They was always walking through, doing all of the extra things and making sure they were prepared and things like that. So I think it was really important for us, especially defensively, just to make sure we were locked in, all on the same page and communicating. So we would get in these meetings and communicate, just go back over our communication, make sure we were all on the same page and Niagara for the game. And so after we met separately, offense and defense, we would split up position groups, go over our thing again, make sure we, you know, hit every small little key point, you know, whether it was player to player, coach to player, and make sure we were all on the same page. And then boom, team meeting. And whether it was Coach Malzahn, whether it was Coach Harrison, they would always get up, you know, and go over the key to victories, obviously what they felt like we had to do to win the game. And then we'd kind of just disperse after that for the night. And I just kind of had my own personal routine. I would always eat the same flavor ice cream the night before, which sounds crazy, but I'm superstitious. And so I always had strawberry ice cream the night before the game. And then I had the same routine as far as recovery and a bath every night before the game, which I learned from my fellow linebacker, Deshaun Davis, my sophomore year. He would always take an Epsom salt bath and then take a cold shower. And we were roommates. He was my roommate when I was a sophomore, every away game. And so I asked him one day, and I was just like, you know, like, what's what you got going on? Because he was taking so long in the shower. I'm trying to get in and get up out of there and get on with my night. And he was just in there for like 45 minutes, an hour. And I'm like, bro, what you doing? And he was like, dog, I'm taking an Epsom salt bath, cold shower. Then you put on the recovery tights they gave us and stretch, foam roll, roll out. You do your thing. You feel great, man. And so I actually picked that up from him, and I did that, you know, pretty much every game I, you know, played in ever since. And so, yeah, shout out to him for that, putting me onto that. And so I kind of just went through my routine every single night, man. And obviously you wake up on Saturday and it's game day, man, and you feeling great. You wake up ready to hit somebody in the mouth, man, and, you know, put on for your family, put on for Auburn. And so you wake up and it's game day, like I said. You got pregame meal. And depending on what time you play that Saturday, you might have to head straight out, or you might have a little downtime before you have to get on the bus and head to the stadium and get ready for the game. But that's kind of just a little quick rundown on how Friday leading up into Saturday goes down for us players, especially playing on the road. Obviously, on the road, it's a us versus everybody mentality. And so you're already in town, kind of with your back against the wall. And so you already have that kind of extra bit of ammunition in your back pocket, man. And so you just want to make sure you want to be locked in. That's what it's about, being on the road. There's a lot of different things that's going on that's not happening when you're playing at home. So you just want to make sure you're locked in, man, and ready for the moment. Now we're getting to the next question. As a team captain, how did you navigate being a leader and maintaining friendships? Yeah, man, that's honestly, it was tough. It was a little tough. I won't lie, just because as a leader, man, like, one thing I will say is I had to learn that everything that you do has to be out of love. Cause like when you lead and you lead with love, like your teammates will see that and they will feel that. And like, it makes it a lot easier just because you lead with love. And so if I'm coming to you and I'm telling you like, yo, tighten up, like, you know, I'm not coming to you, you know, in a way of, you know, trying to show you up or, you know, try to act like I'm better than you. Or no, it's because one, we all say we want to win. That's first and foremost. Two, because if I really love you and I really care about you, then I can't let you not do the right thing. I can't watch you, you know, screw around in the weight room. I can't watch you be late to class or be late to meetings if I'm saying I really love you and I really care about you, because that means I want the best for you, right? And so yeah, obviously just being a leader, it's a lot that comes with it. It's a lot of responsibility to come with it. Obviously you are extension of coach, but at the same time I was always just one of the guys. And so I think my teammates knew that, you know, just the fact that, yeah, he's a team captain, extension of coach this and the third, but he's one of the guys. And so I think just being personable, being understanding, and then knowing your teammates, like, not everybody can be led the same. You can maybe talk to one player this way and not be able to talk to the next that way just because it might trigger him. You know what I'm saying? So it's just about knowing your teammates, knowing their triggers, understanding them, being willing to listen, and also being willing to follow as well. Like, I'm not perfect. I'm not exempt from somebody telling me what to do and what not to do. So, you know, if I had a player or teammate or a coach, you know, hey, you know, this down the third, it's time to tighten up, or, you know, what you got going on. It's never no pushback. It's just, I got you, because I know we all working towards the same thing and we want to win. And so Yeah, I think just that, and then also having the mindset of envisioning myself in the NFL, and then ultimately getting to the NFL and understanding what that is, it's a business. And so there is no my bad in the NFL. There is no being late. There is no not holding each other accountable, because at the end of the day, we all trying to provide for our family. So I can't be messing up. That's messing up the next man and his family and what they trying to do and how he's trying to feed and provide for his family. So yeah, it's just like holding each other accountable and not being willing to let stuff slide. And so I think that's also something I could have did a little better as well. Now looking back on it in hindsight, right? Just holding people even more accountable. Like, yeah, I was a leader and I held people accountable and this, down the third, but it could have been more. And it should have been more, and maybe things would have been different. So I would say it was a little difficult at times, but also, you know, just being personable and the guys understanding that it was always coming from love, and also being trustworthy, I think helped make it a lot easier, and just understanding my teammates and my guys. And last but not least, besides the actual game, what's your favorite part about game day in Auburn? Wow. I feel like that's kind of like a loaded question, just because it's hard to really choose one. Like from the moment, like I said earlier, just waking up on game day, knowing it's game day, you go through that pregame meal and you hop on the bus, and man, like we used to just be on the bus rocking. Like that was the time for us to wake up, no matter what time we played, whether we played at 11, 2:30 or 6 o'clock at night. Like once you hit that bus, it doesn't matter what you're going through in your life. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter what happened last game. It's time to play and it's time to ball. And we used to put on that First Day Out by Gucci. And we used to be on the bus rocking it side to side. We used to be on there turnt. And so, like, I mean, it's just like you feel the emotions, you feel the vibe, and you just feel that electricity, man. And it's like the second you step off that bus and you walk down Donahue, man, Tiger Walk, like, it's crazy. Like you see thousands of people in orange and blue just lined up, screaming, going crazy. Kids, elderly people, family, friends, people from out of town. Like, I mean, it's madness. And so just that energy, getting into the stadium and locking up with your brothers at midfield. And it's like Auburn has a distinct smell. Like it smells like grass when you walk into Jordan-Hare Stadium, but the air smells. It's hard to describe. But the atmosphere just gives off Auburn football. You know what I'm saying? And so just the smell when you walk into the stadium, man, and like the electricity, man, and just locking up with your brothers at midfield, you know, being grateful for the opportunity, and the student sections just come rushing in and they turn and they lit. Like I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. It's incredible. And so just going through the game, man, it's just, you already know it's going to be a great atmosphere. Like that's what Auburn fans do. They show up no matter the circumstances, no matter our record. It doesn't matter. They always show up. And so we always, at least I always tried my best to go out there and perform as well as I could. Just, you know, just obviously for the opportunity, but also the incredible fans as well. And then after the game, it's just nothing like being beat up, battered and bruised, and you know, hearing so many fans say great game, and having your family walk with you, and your mom trying to hug you and take a million selfies after the game, and dapping up your pops and walking with your brothers and your girl, and, you know, having somebody ask you, you know, let me hold that bag for you. You know, just little stuff like that. Being with your people, man, being with your folks after the game, man, and just vibing. And after you just went to war, after you just had a great game, after you just, you know, played in front of the best fans in the country. So honestly, that's what I miss the most. That's what I love the most. The atmosphere, the electricity, the excitement, the fans. That's what I miss the most before anything, to be honest with you. So, yeah, awesome, man. That was amazing. That's all we got for today, folks. I want to thank you guys again. Like I said in the beginning, I'm very appreciative. This won't be the last time we go through some more questions. And so if you want to have your question featured on the show, make sure you just comment here on YouTube. You can head over to Twitter, send me a DM there or comment under one of my posts. You can also find me on Instagram, C_Woot31. Anywhere you can find me, feel free to reach out, ask any question you want, and might just feature you on the show. Again, thank you. I appreciate you, and we'll see you on the next one. And as always, War Eagle.